Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left, as always, is my Lancastrian co-host, Joe Nutsy, Nuttall. So Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, all right, thanks. Obviously, Lancs have been playing, so I haven't watched actually any of that today, but they're on Sky, which is pretty good. So yeah, it's good to see County Cricket getting some County Championship, as I say, getting some televised coverage, because as we know, it's not really happened very much in Red Bull cricket. So obviously no tests, which no need to go into all that. That's a whole different thing. But yeah, I mean, Lancs and Lancs women actually firstly benefited from there not being a test, because a lot of people who were going to go to Old Trafford to watch the England-India game actually went to watch the Lancs women, which I thought was brilliant. It looked like a great atmosphere down at Sale Cricket Club. And then I think whilst it's a shame there's no test cricket this week, of course, I mean, it's great to see so much interest in women's cricket and obviously county cricket on TV.
100%, Joe. And it was fantastic to see, wasn't it, on the Thunder live stream, the cavemen, the dinosaurs. I mean, it was absolutely hilarious. And Sale Cricket Club actually sold out, which was absolutely staggering. So
yeah, brilliant to see.
We mentioned it on Twitter. Fair play to each and every single one of those wonderful fans. They made it a fantastic occasion, great atmosphere. I know the players themselves really enjoyed it as well. So all in all, making a positive out of what's been a very, very poor situation. And of course, we aren't going to go into too much detail, but I think it's safe to say that as cricket fans and massive test cricket fans as well, it's massively disappointing. And I do feel sorry for fans in the Lancashire region who now don't get to see a test match at Old Trafford until 2023, which I think is completely wrong. But then again, this isn't the
show
for it.
Yeah. But it's a shame. But I will just say, actually, there is ground developments going on. So I think that's why there's no test next year. So I assume that's why there's no test at Old Trafford. I mean, it is a shame, obviously, but the ground would be bigger and better come 2023 for test cricket. So yeah, that'll be good to see.
Well, fingers crossed, Joe, because
right in saying that anyway. That's the only reason I can think of. I might be telling everyone, that's just an assumption. But
well, I'll tell you what, Joe, hopefully that is the reason why, because it's a great cricketing region. I love going up to Old Trafford. I really do. And you know, Joe, I'm not going to say it's better than Edgbaston, but it is a fantastic place to go and watch a game of cricket. Great atmosphere. The party stand's brilliant. And it's an iconic venue here in England and Wales. So as I said, I really do feel for those fans, but fingers crossed they do a rollover scheme. You can get those test tickets back. And of course, when test cricket does return to Old Trafford, I sincerely hope that the fans do get a chance to go and watch a test match, because it's been tough. And again, this was really, really just, you know, thrown upon us out of the blue. No one had any idea. People had travelled, people had booked time off. So hopefully, fingers crossed, ECB and BCCI can come to some sort of resolution.
Obviously, India are touring next year, aren't they, for white ball. So maybe can squeeze a test in then. But I mean, it's a packed summer next year. So who knows? But yeah, I don't know. Because obviously, they need to play the test, don't they, for the World Test Championship. So it's not ideal, but as I say, it's a debate for a different time, this, despite us talking about this for quite a while now.
Yeah, this is the problem with us too, though, isn't it, Joe? We're absolute cricket nerds, and you go on to one topic and all of a sudden it becomes a major part of the podcast. But we'll stop ourselves here, because it has been a massive news story. We can't really just ignore it, can we, to be honest? But at the same time, as much as we would love to discuss the ins and outs, the consequences of that test match at Old Trafford, we are actually here to talk about 2021 T20 Blast Finals Day, which I will actually be there for the first time ever, which is fantastic. Of course, we've got an All South Group Finals Day this year, which sees Hampshire take on Somerset in semi-final one at 11 o'clock BST. Then at 2:30 BST in the afternoon, the Kent Spitfires take on the Sussex Sharks. And then at 6:45, 18:45 British Summer Time, we have the grand final at the Fortress. Edgbaston is going to be absolutely rocking. The Hollies is going to be packed. The atmosphere is going to be exceptional, as always, at the spiritual home of the T20 Blast. And Joe, just some thoughts from you, mate, to be honest. I know, obviously, very disappointing. I'm disappointed that the Bears didn't get through. I know you're incredibly disappointed when Lancashire lost to Somerset. But an All-South Group Finals Day, we've got four top-quality sides all to play for. How excited are you for Finals Day in 2021, mate?
Yeah, it's gonna be a great day. Obviously, full crowds back, which makes a massive difference. Last year was good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it wasn't good for Lancs because we lost in the semi final. But generally, finals day was good. But it wasn't the same, was it? So, I think this year is gonna be probably the best finals day yet, in my opinion, just because it's been so long since crowds are there. I mean, the teams, all four teams, are really, really strong, and I think whoever had won their quarterfinals, all the teams were strong, so whoever had gone through would have been, it's not like there's someone who kind of like fluked it through and they're not necessarily the best team, but I don't think that's the case. So I think all four teams are strong. I think, as I say, all eight teams were strong going into the quarterfinals, and I think it is going to be a great day.
Absolutely, Joe. It is. It's going to be fantastic. It's finals day. It's iconic here in England and Wales. It is the big showpiece. And of course, next year, finals day will be taking place in July. But at Edgbaston, full capacity crowd, sellout crowd, and a wonderful crowd as well. Great atmosphere. It really is a special day. And again, to all the fans coming up to Edgbaston, you know what? Just enjoy yourselves. Have a great day. We've been through a lot in the past year and a half. Let's just all enjoy ourselves, no matter what happens on the day, of course. I know for Hampshire, Somerset, Kent, and Sussex fans all vying for their teams, but it's just me a great day. It's finals day. It's a party atmosphere. It's a celebration of T20 cricket here in England and Wales. And I can't wait. I'm absolutely ecstatic. I cannot wait to go. We're 6 days away or 5 days away now, I suppose. And again, I'm already getting the adrenaline rush. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. But in terms of each of the teams then and how this preview show is going to work, basically, myself and Joe, we're going to analyse each of the four teams, go through some strengths, some weaknesses, some players who you should be looking out for in this year's tournament. And then, of course, it comes down to the big one, doesn't it, Joe? The prediction, which here on the County Cricket Podcast doesn't usually go that well, does it? Whether it's the Championship, the Royal London One Day Cup, last year's T20 Blast, where we both got it wrong as well. Neither of us said not, even though we were tempted. But yes, we'll see how our predictions go this year. But before we get into all of that good stuff, of course, let's have a look at each of the four teams. And let's start with the first semi-final between Hampshire Hawks and Somerset. So, Joe, I think we'll start with Hampshire. Okay, they finished fourth in the South Group. They beat the Nottinghamshire Outlaws, the defending champions of the T20 Blast, by 2 runs in that thrilling encounter at Trent Bridge. And they are, of course, 2 times winners of the T20 Blast as a tournament, winning the trophy in 2010 and 2012. Now, in terms of strengths, Joe, where do you think Hampshire's strengths really lie? Because for me, I'm going to be honest, I look at the top order, the likes of Darcy Short, James Vince, Tom Prest. That's where I see Hampshire really taking control of games, getting off to a good start, building up runs in the power play, and producing pressure by generating big totals. But do you see that differently? Do you think there's another strength of this Hampshire outfit? And if so, Joe, what would you say is the real strength of the Hawks heading into finals day 2021?
Yeah, I think for me, Hampshire's spinners for me really set them apart amongst the other teams. Obviously, I assume Rashid Khan is not available for Sussex because
You
he's
would
at the
assume
IPL.
correctly.
And then for me, Mason Crane therefore is the best spinner on the day, unless I'm completely missing someone off the top of my head. But from what, or in my opinion anyway, Mason Crane's the best spinner at finals day, and obviously they have Darcy Short as well, who can offer them two, three, four, however many overs of left arm leg spin. So for me, I would like to point out left arm leg spin, I think, is a very underrated craft. I know you are a fan of obviously Jake Lintott, who is a left arm leg spinner. I think Tabrir Shams is still number one in the world, as far
Correct.
as I know. So there you go. There's a left arm leg spinner, and I actually think Darcy Short's a really, really good bowler as well. I'm surprised he doesn't get in the Australia side as a bowler. Well, not as a bowler predominantly, but as an all-rounder, genuine all-rounder, because I think he's an excellent bowler. So I think in that sense, I think Hampshire have a great, some great spin options, and it will be really, really interesting to see how the pitch plays, because it's September. It's quite late on in September as well. Obviously next Saturday will be what, like the 18th, something like that. So it's pretty late on in September. It'll be very interesting to see how the pitch plays and whether it does offer much spin. But I think if it does, then yeah, I really do think Hampshire will be in with a good shout, just because Mason Crane is a really, really good player.
100%, Joe. I would agree. Definitely another strength of this Hawks outfit. And you mentioned there Mason Crane. He's always one of the best players in the T20 Blast, isn't he? And this year has been absolutely no different. 15 wickets at 23.66, a 7.88 economy rate. Mason Crane is going to be a key aspect of this Hampshire spin attack heading into finals day. And of course, you've got Liam Dawson as well, the more economic option. 9 wickets, yeah, 24.55 average.
Liam Dawson.
And 7.12 average. Completely forgot about Liam Dawson.
So there you go. There's another one.
Exactly.
I really do think Hampshire's spin attack is a standout on finals day.
100%, Joe. I could not agree more. I do think it's a very, very strong Hampshire team. And of course, we look at their route into finals day. Barely making it through, scrapping through into that fourth and final position on the last day of the group stage games. And then that thrilling encounter at Trent Bridge, Brad Wheel, with that incredible last over. The execution of the Yorkers was absolutely perfect from the Scottish seamer. So for me, Hampshire, it would be a bit of a fairy tale because they almost missed out on even reaching the quarters. Then in the quarterfinals, everybody wrote them off after that first innings. And then they came back fighting like absolute warriors in the second and ended up winning by 2 runs against an incredibly strong Nottinghamshire Outlaws team. So I think Hampshire do have a pretty good squad at their disposal. But of course, like with any squad, Joe, you don't just have strengths, you do have weaknesses. And for me with Hampshire, I'm going to be honest, I'd say it's the middle to lower order. You look at the likes of Sussex, for example, you look at the likes of Somerset, who have got bona fide finishing options. I just think for Hampshire, they will rely on the likes of James Vince, for example, or Joe Weatherly, to really get the majority of their runs. And maybe the middle order, middle to lower order, I suppose, is a little bit more vulnerable compared to the likes of a Sussex or the likes of a Kent, for example. Would you agree with that, Joe? Do you think that is an area of a weakness for the Hawks in this year's finals day?
Yeah, but as you say, it only takes one innings, doesn't it?
True.
So, and again, we don't know how the pitch is going to play. It could be a bowling pitch. I think often the pitches at finals day have been very seam friendly in recent years. Even dating back to when Lanx won the T20 Blast in 2015, actually the pitch even then wasn't an incredible batting track. So it only takes one knock of Vince or I'd say Weatherly or Shaw or someone like that just to get his side up to, I don't know, 150, 160. And with the attack we just mentioned there, Hampshire have a good enough attack to defend that. So even obviously all 3 games were on the same wicket. So, you know, by the time that there's been however many overs bowled on that wicket, come the last innings, you may only really need to defend. 140 could be a good score for all we know. So I guess it's not really the kind of thing you can say until the day because, as I say, you only really need one player to get 70 or 80 or whatever and everyone else gets 20, 30. You've got a decent score. You're going to get runs. So I don't think we're going to be seeing massive scores. I think it's going to be more of a bowler's game and I think that will play into Hampshire's hands.
Interesting, Joe. Interesting you say that. And of course, that is the beautiful thing of T20 as a format. It's so unpredictable. It's so enigmatic. I always liken it to being quite chaotic as well, because when you think about it, unlike Test cricket or 50-over cricket, of course, it literally is just one good bowling display or one good batting display. And that can change the entire outlook of a game. So who knows? And as you've said, Joe, they do have the weapons in the arsenal to really challenge at Finals Day 2021. So the Hawks will be fancying their chances in this year's Finals Day. And Joe, just in terms of star players, who do you think are Hampshire's real gun players? Of course, the likes of James Vince and Mason Crane we've mentioned. But are there any other players who really stand out to you in terms of, you know, generating success for Hampshire in this year's Finals Day?
Yeah, well, I think for me, they're obviously, other than James, I think Darcy Short for me, I think he will be, as I've already talked about, you know, he's going to be massive with the ball and also with the bat as well. I think he could be the guy to get those 70 runs or 80 runs that I just mentioned there. James Vince obviously scored 100 at Edgbaston not too long ago in the ODI against Pakistan, which was obviously a brilliant inning. So I think for me, those two players, certainly with the bat, will be vital for Hampshire. And then it's just for me about everybody chipping in as a collective with the ball. You don't need someone to take 5 wickets. You don't even need to bowl the team out. You just need to restrict them and bowl tight in the power play, and I think you're fine. And I think Hampshire have the setup to do that. So, yeah, for me, I think Darcy Short is their key player. As I say, all round, he's a great fielder as well. I think he's going to be important.
I like that answer, Joe. I like the way in which you've explained it as well. Fair play, mate. Fair play. And just before we move on to Somerset, Kent, and of course Sussex, Just a couple of under-the-radar players, Joe. Now, for me, I've gone with Tom Prest and Scott Curry for Hampshire. Tom Prest, for those who saw him in the quarter-final, did impress at Trent Bridge. Didn't get a 50-plus score, but did look quite lively, quite enterprising in terms of the way in which he goes about his batting. And I think, again, just in that top order, that top three, if he scores some runs, again, Hampshire have got the bowling capabilities to defend. And then I mentioned there Scott Curry, fiery, fast young seam bowler, taken 17 wickets this season for the Hawks, is currently their leading wicket taker in the T20 Blast and only played 8 games. He's taken 17 wickets in 8 games, Scott Curry. So if he comes firing and then you pair him with the spin attack, the likes of Dawson, the likes of Crane, Hampshire again do have an excellent team at their disposal for the semi-final. So to be honest, Joe, how do you rate their chances? Just one final wrap-up on Hampshire. Do you think they can beat the Somerset side? Yes or no?
Yes, I think they'll beat Somerset. I won't say who I think is going to win the whole tournament yet. But
well, we'll save that.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that'll beat Somerset.
Okay, interesting, Joe. Interesting. I'll save mine until we've done Somerset. So I think that's quite a nice transitional segment into our chat about Somerset, the West Country outfit. Now, in terms of Somerset in 2021, they finished second. In the group stage, they thrashed Lancashire by 7 wickets in that rather one-sided quarterfinal, it has to be said, at the Cooper Associates County Ground in Taunton. And in terms of Somerset as a county, they have only ever won the T20 Blast on one occasion. That was in 2005. Guess who they beat in the final, Joe? You don't want to say it, do you, mate? Lancashire, of course. They won at the Oval when finals day used to be held at all different grounds around the country. So only one times winners of the T20 Blast. So Somerset as a club and, of course, the fan base will be wanting to double that tally in 2021. Now, Joe, in terms of Somerset's strengths, where do you think the Somersets really excel in this year's tournament? Because, again, for me, I look at their batting lineup, the likes of Tom Abel, the likes of Tom Banton, for example, James Hildreth. They have got a fantastically strong top four at their disposal for this year's tournament. Would you agree that is the real strength of Somerset? Or again, is there another area, another department of this Somerset outfit which really impresses you heading into finals day?
No, 100%. I think their top order is, for me, if the top order doesn't really fire, I think you look at obviously Banton, Hildreth, Abel, and then I would say Lammerby as well. Mm-hmm. Those guys.
And Will Smead.
Will Smead, who of course has already played, scored a lot of runs at Edgbaston this year in 100. So he knows the ground quite well.
And might be on the podcast soon.
Listen up for that.
Hint, hint.
But I think if those five kind of don't really fire, then I don't really see Somerset posting a big total, because the likes of Lewis Gregory, he's a brilliant batter, but you can't be relying on him to... He's a finisher, mm-hmm. All right? It's like going back to like 2015 Australia. You wouldn't expect James Faulkner to get all the runs. I mean, of course, he can do it on occasion and dig him out of a hole, but you want him to get 30 or 15. That's what you want Lewis Gregory to do. You want him to kind of explode off a platform laid by the top five. And I think if those guys as a collective don't fire, I don't see Somerset necessarily posting a big total. But, I mean, they're all quality players. Tom Banton, he fires on the biggest stages. He scores runs on the biggest stages. And I think, you know, I mean, Lance were lucky enough to get Tom Banton out early. And then Tom Abel came in and Tom Lammerby came in and pretty much kicked on. I think if Lancs had got those two out, we could have been talking about Lancs right now. But that's a perfect example of it. You know, Banton gets out and those two kick on and win the game. If those two get out, where does that leave Somerset? Because past Lammerby, they don't really have much more batting depth. I know these, the likes of Lewis Gregory, he's an all-round, genuine all-rounder, but he's not going to go and get you up to that, I don't know, 150 from like 90 for 4 or 90 for 5 or whatever. You know, you want Lewis Gregory to get you up to 180 from 150 for 3 or something like that, or 150 for 4. So, you know, for me, that's where Somerset will win and lose the game.
Fair enough, Joe. Fair enough. And I would agree with that. And of course, again, another all-rounder at Somerset's disposal, King Ruloff. Ruloff van der Merwe had a fantastic quarterfinal against Lancs, taking a 4-for at the Cooper Associates County Ground. He was just sensational, wasn't he, Joe, in that quarterfinal? And again, at Edgbaston, where there is a little bit more grip and purchase as opposed to other grounds around the country, I do think Ruloff could have a pretty good finals day. So in terms of the strength, Joe, I think we've covered that very, very nicely there. Somerset's batting is absolutely lethal. Of course, they don't have Devin Conway. That is a massive, massive miss. He was excellent for Somerset throughout this year's tournament, was their second leading run scorer with 309 runs at 61.8. But with that being said, you've got the likes of Tom Abel, who's striking at 171. You've got Tom Lamonby striking at 170.73. Banton, who's striking at 189.6. These are incredible strike rates for Somerset. So if these guys get going, you put up a big total at Edgbaston, Somerset again will fancy their chances. But unlike Hampshire, and this is my one problem with Somerset when it comes to the weaknesses of the side, it's the seam attack and the seam attack being quite expensive. So if we have a look at Somerset's seam attack this season, other than Tom Lamonby and Jack Brooks, every single one of the seamers is going at least 8 runs and over. So DeLanger's been going at 8.19. You've got Ben Green going at 8.61 runs per over, Gregory going at 9.82 runs and over, and Josh Davey going at 9.98. So you compare that to a Sussex, for example. You compare that to a Kent, or indeed a Hampshire. This Somerset seam attack is the most expensive heading into finals day. Now, of course, you have to take into consideration they play at the Cooper Associates County Ground. It's very much a batting-friendly wicket. It's very flat, small boundaries. But that, to me, is a little bit of a worry in comparison to other teams at this year's finals day. It's very much a case of bat big and hope that bowlers can defend a total, which, to be honest, has worked in the past. We've seen that work in T20 tournaments around the globe, but it's a pretty dangerous tactic, I think, on finals day, Joe. Would you agree with that? Or do you think Somerset seamers can come to the forefront in this year's finals day?
We've already talked a lot about Hampshire's batting, and I do think they're a bit too strong for Somerset. And, you know, you never know. Maybe Somerset will kind of break through with that new ball. But if you look at, again, if you look at the quarterfinal, Liam Livingston was looking very dangerous and Rilla van der Merwe got him out. He got Alex Davis out, of course, who unfortunately didn't get any runs. But regardless, we know how good Alex Davis is. And he picked up another couple of wickets as well. I think did he get Luke Wales out as well, van der Merwe? So, you know, there's three important players for Lancs, especially Livingston. Livingston was the big one. That over could have changed the game if Livingston hadn't got out, because I genuinely think van der Merwe is the key with the ball. And as you say, we could see a little bit of grip for him at Edgbaston. But I do think that if Hampshire play it smartly and kind of see van der Merwe's four out, I do think that they could maybe be a little bit more in a bit more of a comfortable position, you know, obviously knowing that Somerset's bowlers actually do have a tendency to go around the ground. And that's just off the economy rates. That's a fact. And whether that's unlucky or not, you know, someone like van der Merwe could get, if he was 8 point whatever and over, you know, he bowls one bouncer and over and he gets top edge for four, then there's already four of that. So, you know, how unlucky or not that is, I don't know. But not to say Somerset's bowling, seam bowling attack isn't good, because, of course, it is. Hopefully they'll have Craig Overton back. I'm pretty sure they will.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
So, you know, not to say that their attack isn't good, but I just think that if Hampshire can see out van der Merwe, or even just go, you know, hit him a singular ball, of van der Merwe's, you know, van der Merwe's 24 balls, then I do think that Somerset will maybe struggle to dismiss those Hampshire batsmen in the middle order. And who knows, maybe we'll see Jack Leach get a game, because let's not forget, he took a threefer against Surrey, didn't he, in the group stages, and I don't know why he's not really played since. Maybe we will see van der Merwe and Leach kind of almost double up with the spin attack, but I don't know, we'll see.
We will see indeed, Joe. And to be honest, that's a very interesting question that has been posed. And Somerset fans, I'd love to know this, because of course, Jack Leach, well, pending on the return of a PCR test, should in theory be available. And if you have a look at his stats from this season, as you rightfully said, Joe, taking 3 for 28 against Surrey on debut at the Oval. But in two games, he's taken 5 wickets with an economy rate of 7.5. Now compare that to Somerset's main spinner, who is Max Waller. He's also taken 5 wickets, but he's going at 8.6 runs and over. So potentially that is a selection dilemma for Somerset heading into this year's finals day. You mentioned there Craig Overton. Fingers crossed he's back, because he has been Somerset's most economic bowler in this year's tournament. He's gone at 7.06 runs per over. So if they have got the likes of Leach, they've got the likes of van der Merwe, they've got the likes of Overton, for example, Josh Davey in there as well, and of course Lewis Gregory, they do have the capability to defend the totals, but it's a case of just clicking, getting that unit and not going at 8 or 9 or even 10 runs and over. And that will be vital for Somerset in this year's semi-final. So Joey mentioned there pretty much all of the star players and the key players, the Roloffs, the Tom Abels, the Tom Bantons, for example. But in terms of a young player, I mentioned this with Hampshire. I'm also going to mention this with Somerset. I've chosen Will Smead. Now, Will Smead was Somerset's leading run scorer in the group stages, scored 327 runs at 32.7 with a healthy 134.56 strike rate, including 63 not out as well in the group stages. And in terms of overall rankings in this year's tournaments, he's the 23rd leading run scorer. So his runs at the top of the order, along with Tom Banton, for example, will be absolutely pivotal for Somerset. So he is definitely someone to watch out for. As you said, Joe, has experience at Edgbaston as well in both 2020 and 2021. So Will Smead, watch out for him. He really is a bright and promising future talent for the West Country outfit. Now, in terms of predictions for semi-final one, Joe, you've gone with Hampshire. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are.
Okay, just out of fairness, and also because I'd love to see Tom Banton roll off in a final. I'd love to see a team like that in the final with so much, you know, star power, so much firepower at the top of the order, and an entertaining and international quality bowling attack. I'm going to go with Somerset. I think Somerset will go through. So, interesting predictions here at TCCP. One of us will be correct, one of us will be wrong, of course, but at least one of us will get a correct finalist. But I fancy Somerset's chances, Joe. I really do, of course. Things haven't quite worked out for them in the divisional stage of the county championship. This is going to be a massive game for this team and, of course, the club. They have not won the T20 Blast in 16 years. There is a lot of motivation behind this year's T20 Blast runs. So I'm going to go Somerset, and I will say they will be the first team in the final of the 2021 T20 Blast. But of course, Joe, we're not just seeing Hampshire and Somerset. And although that is going to be an absolutely thrilling semi-final to kickstart Finals Day 2021, at 2:30 in the afternoon, we do, of course, have the Kent Spitfires taking on the Sussex Sharks. So we'll start with Kent, the team which unfortunately knocked out my county of Warwickshire in the quarterfinals. I was there for that at the Spitfire Ground, where the Spitfires downed the Bears by 21 runs in the quarterfinals. Kent finished top of the South Group, even with a load of notable COVID-19 absentees. They absolutely bossed the group stages in the South Group. And again, a bit like Somerset, they have only ever won the T20 Blast once, back in 2007. Now, in terms of strengths, Joe, I'm actually going to start with you for this one, because with Kent, you can say so many things. It is such a strong team on paper. The top order is brilliant. The middle order is incredibly gifted as well. And then you look at the seam and spin attack, and again, there are just so many fantastic assets in this Kent lineup. Where do you think the real strengths of this Spitfires outfit lie, Joe? Where do you say are the main strengths of Kent heading into this semi-final?
For me, I think their hopes lie with Sam Billings. I think if he, I mean, we know Sam Billings is such a good player. If he gets runs, even if he gets just 50, but if he gets 60, 70, 80 runs, I think, you know, Kent will be, you know, kind of in a great position for me, because Sam Billings, I think personally for me, I think he's about 4, by the way. He's a great player of spin, and at the death, Sam Billings is a brilliant player. He really is. He's so innovative, and his scoops that he plays, he can hit it off any length. And I think for me, Sam Billings is best place to bat is number 4 for me. So I hope we do see him there. But yeah, for me, Sam Billings is far and away Kent's best player. You know, he's an international cricketer for a reason, and he's going back to the Sydney Thunder in the BBL this year. I mean, there's a reason he's an international cricketer. He's, as I say, in my opinion, far and away Kent's best player. And I don't think all their hopes lie with him. Of course, they have great players like Daniel Bell Drummond, Zach Crawley, who again not been in the runs a lot this year, but he's still a quality player. But yeah, obviously Zach Crawley, Daniel Bowdrum, but for me, Sam Billings is the one, and that's where a lot of Kent's kind of hopes lie.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Joe. Sam Billings really is the talisman, isn't he, of this Kent Spitfires team. He really galvanises the entire side, and in that quarterfinal, he was brilliant with the gloves, brilliant with the bat. Yes, he could have been stumped, and who knows, history could have been different in that quarterfinal at the Spitfire Ground, but he's an outstanding batsman, really innovative, really enterprising. You know, he's got all the scoop shots, the ramp shots as well. Sam Billings really is a fantastic player to watch in full flow. And you mentioned there, Joe, about the strength of batting with Kent. And you just look at at the numbers that some of these guys have put up this season. Daniel Bell Drummond, 392 runs with a strike of 156.8. Bear in mind, this is an opening batsman and he scored 550 plus scores in this year's tournament. You mentioned Zach Crawley, Joe, 330 runs. Kent's second leading run scorer, 33 average.
By the way, just to clarify, I didn't mean in general, like as in for England and everything, he's not been in the runs generally. Just to clarify that. But he is a quality player, so don't get me wrong.
He is indeed, Joe. And again, look at the strike rate opening the batting, 157.14. You've got guys like Jordan Cox. Again, he scored 309 runs. Jack Leaning, who deserves a lot more credit. He's been fantastic for Kent all season long. He scored 294 runs. So that top six for me for Kent is extremely strong. There aren't really any faults, any weaknesses in that top six. And then another real strength, a real key component of this Kent bowling attack is the seamers. So when it comes to the likes of Matt Milnes, he's taken 18 wickets. Fred Clarkson's taken 14. You've got Darren Stevens as well. But the key thing for me, and I suppose this would be a weakness, is almost a one-dimensional pace attack. And I don't mean that, you know, in a bad way at all. They've got some excellent seamers at their disposal, but they're missing one key asset, and that is Adam Milne. Now, Adam Milne was the X factor for Kent. He was something completely different, could bowl at speeds well over 140 kilometres an hour. He has now, unfortunately, gone to the IPL to play for the Mumbai Indians. And in his four games, he took seven wickets with a strike rate of 12.8. 12.8. It was one of the best strike rates in the club in 2021. Also went at less than 8 runs and over, 16.57 average. Took lots of wickets against Warwickshire as well. It has to be said he was fantastic for Kent in this year's tournament. And he is going to be a massive loss, a tremendous loss. So when you have got the likes of Milnes, for example, you've got the likes of Clarkson, Darren Stevens, I imagine, actually could start. You've got the likes of Harry Podmore as well, who's unfortunately out injured. Oh, I don't know. I think that could be not an Achilles heel because, again, they've got an incredibly strong pace attack. But maybe that is something which Kent could find themselves missing at this year's finals day. You know, that real express pace option. Someone's come in the enforcer role, for example, a bit like Hampshire have with Brad Wheel. So that's just my personal thoughts on that. Joe, would you agree with that? And also the spin bowling attack, other than Case Ahmad. I do feel as though the spin attack is a little bit light in comparison to a Hampshire or a Sussex.
Yeah, I think that's probably where kind of they're lacking a little bit. And I think if it came down to it and Kent were to get through to the final against Hampshire or Somerset, whoever it may be, I do think that's where they may kind of lose. Because, you know, as much as we talk about Somerset's bowling attack being quite expensive, Kent's bowling attack, as you say, they're missing so many key players. And even, I mean, they had Safian Sharif in for a little bit even, and he was really, really good. But then she obviously, I think, is it now always Scotland? Am I right in saying that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can't get him back. They obviously can't get George Munsey back either.
And Podmore's injured, which is a big one.
So there you go. So, I mean, there's so many. Obviously, Munsey's a batter, but, I mean, you know, they can't get Sharif back. Podmore's injured. Milne is not here. They're missing a lot of players. So I do think that's probably where Kent's, as I say, I do think Achilles heel is the right word. I do think every team's got one.
Hmm.
Even Lanx, surprisingly, but I do think that could be Kent's for this finals day, because you need to be able to bowl well at the death, and Kent will be having quite an inexperienced kind of setup at the death. I think when you lose Milne and when you lose Podmore and when you lose Sharif, they're three experienced bowlers. Two of them are international cricketers. Podmore's been around for quite a while now, and those three bowlers in particular would be crucial. Obviously, still have Fred Clarkson, who's, I think, a great bowler as well. But the inexperience at the death could be where it comes down to for Kent. And I do think that could separate them from other teams.
Potentially, Joe. I would agree with that. But
not to say that they're bad, by the way.
No, but they aren't. This is the key. It's a perceived weakness.
They're inexperienced, I think, with the especially with Milne. Milne's the key here. You lose so much experience without him, and the fact that he's got an IPL, that he's going to play in the IPL, shows how good he is. So I do think if there is anything that could cost Kent, it is that. I do think that the lack of experience at the death.
Fair enough, Joe. But with that being said, they could also gain a loss of experience in the form of Darren Stevens. And also, word on the street, for those who don't know, is that the Darren Stevens flag, which has been at Canterbury, could be making its way to Edgbaston, which would be absolutely fantastic. I'd love to see that somewhere at the Fortress finals day. So hopefully some people at Kent can get that sorted. And we can, of course, see the Darren Stevens flag being flown very, very proudly at the Fortress. But we say there, Joe, about strengths and weaknesses. I still think on paper, this Kent squad is probably the strongest on paper. I'm going to be honest, they absolutely boss the South group. To be honest, as well, it pains me to say this, but they did beat the Bears quite comfortably by 21 runs in the end, other than that Jake Lintott salvo. So, yeah, I think Kent probably, in terms of paper at least, are the favourites. I would say the Spitfires are the favourites. I know you might say Sussex, Joe, but in terms of their performances this season, and of course the way in which they're ending the season as well, they've got all the momentum on their side. I do fancy Kent as the favourites for this year's tournament. And just before we talk about Sussex, Joe, just one final, you know, young player to watch out for from Kent. I'm going to go with Jordan Cox. So 309 runs, averaging 51.5, a good strike rate as well of 134.93. I don't think he'll be keeping wickets, of course. You've got Sam Billings for that in this year's competition. But again, a very, very free-flowing, enterprising batsman who can score runs quickly. It's exactly what you want in the middle order. So Jordan Cox, for me, is Kent's young player to watch out for at finals day. But talking of Kent's opponents, Joe, Sussex, right? Let's talk about the Sussex Sharks, the fourth and final competitors in the 2021 T20 Blast semi-finals. And of course, a team which, to be honest, I think both of us have a soft spot for, Joe. I know, obviously, you like Phil Sauls. He's going to Lancs. And yeah, the golden generation, a generation of T20 cricketers, I think back all the way to 2018 to now, there really have been some special players playing T20 cricket for Sussex over the years. But in terms of the Sharks in this year's competition, they finished third in the South Group. They beat Yorkshire by 5 wickets in the quarterfinal at the Riverside up in Durham. And they are also one-times winners of the Blast, winning the competition in 2009. Now, the key thing, the major headline, I suppose, for Sussex heading into finals day is the omission of Rashid Khan. Now, this is the big, big absentee heading into finals day. Rashid Khan, as we know, is one of the best T20 players, if not the very best T20 players on the planet right now. Okay, he's so, so special. He's such a dangerous bowler. He finished off that game up at the Riverside.
He
as well.
Is the best T20 player on the planet. Not one of. He's
there
the
you
best.
Go, Joe. Again, I'm just saying that out of impartiality. For me, other he would be
Livingston.
As well.
Other than Livingston.
There we go. There we go. So you've already just contradicted yourself already. But that's the problem. It's too objective, isn't it, when it comes to, you know, our favourites and the best. But coming back onto topic with Rashid Khan, he's going to be a tremendous loss. He really is, in terms of wickets, in terms of fielding, in terms of runs, and in terms of leadership as well. Rashid Khan is going to be a massive, massive loss for the men in blue. With that being said, though, Joe, in terms of main strengths, I still see Sussex as having the strongest spin attack at finals day 2021. You've got the likes of Archie Lennon, who's had a breakout competition. You've got the likes of Will Beer, who is Sussex's all-time leading wicket taker in the T20 format. You've got Delray Rawlins as well, who can have a bowl. That, for me, will be the key that underpins Sussex's success at Edgbaston, which, as we've mentioned earlier, and of course on the podcast plenty of times, is a little bit more friendly to spin bowling. So, Joe, for me, I'm definitely going major strength of Sussex, not just the top order, but in particular, the spin attack. The likes of Lennon, the likes of Will Beer, the likes of Delray Rawlins. Would you agree with that, mate?
Yeah, I do. To be honest, I think Sussex have the best side overall. I mean, obviously, you mentioned Phil Salt already. I don't know if I've said this on a previous podcast, but I did call him signing for Lancs. But yeah, anyway, back to the spin attack. I do generally see them with the best squad. Sussex, I do have them as my favourites to win the tournament. Kind of a bit of a spoiler there, but I do. And they've got such a youthful attack, and I think that's what's so impressive is that how far they've got in the tournament with the likes of Archie Lennon. And that's not to say I didn't expect him to do this well, but I don't think many people did, to be honest. I don't think many people expected Archie Lennon to be as good as he is. And he is such a good bowler. And, you know, they've got this far with the likes of him, obviously Will Beer, Rashid Khan, Delray Rawlins. Take Rashid Khan out of it, it's still, as you say, an extremely strong spin attack. So for me, Sussex do have their best shot at winning this tournament. I do think kind of plays into their hands. I do think we'll, I know I said earlier, we've seen some seam friendly wickets recently, but I do think it will spin. on this occasion. So it will be very interesting to see how they go. They have a lot of spin at their disposal, and as I say, I think they may just be too strong for every other side there, regardless of who they play if they get through to the final.
Interesting, Joe. Very, very interesting there. I mean, obviously, Kent fans, I think, would disagree with that, but Sussex fans probably just gone onto your side now, Joe. But fair enough. As you said, a very, very strong spin attack. And in terms of the other major strength, I alluded to it just then in the passage beforehand, but the top order, the top four of Luke Wright, Phil Salt, Ravi Bapara, and Delroy Rawlins, that is an incredibly strong top four if those guys get going. But at the same time, as much as that is a strength, it is also a weakness. And the weakness for me is an over-reliance on that top four for runs. And of course, they've got finishers in the middle order. Okay, they're going to be without Rashid Khan, but they have got George Garton, for example, in that middle order. But for me, if that top four doesn't fire, if they lose Luke Wright early, or Phil Salt, or both of them early, to Kent seam attack or the spinners, Sussex could struggle to get a real, you know, total of substance, I think, at Edgbaston. So for me, I don't like saying this because I also want Sussex to go through, Joe. Okay, spoiler alert, they are my predicted finalists alongside Somerset. But I just feel as though it's a massive, massive gamble, isn't it? If those top four go out and let's say they score less than 50 or 60 runs between them, Sussex could be in a lot of trouble, couldn't they, Joe?
Yeah, I think if we're to identify a weakness, and that would be it. Having said that, I think if you look at the top two, let's start with those. You know, obviously got Luke Wright, one of the best ever T20 players.
He's the leading all-time run scorer.
Well, there you go.
T20 Blast, isn't he?
No, I was talking about across the world. He's one of the best ever T20
players. Been there and done that, hasn't he? Melbourne,
yep.
Pune.
Yep. He's done it all, Luke Wright. He's won a World Cup. He's done it all, Luke Wright.
The legend.
So, yeah, he absolutely is a legend. Leading T20 Blast run scorer, as you say. And I think Luke Wright, I feel like, always gets at least 30. I just feel like he always does. So, obviously, you've got Luke Wright, and then obviously you've got Phil Salt, one of the best young batsmen in the world, in my opinion. You know, he's obviously leaving Sussex at the end of the season. Regardless, I think he's got, you know, one last shot or technically two last shots of glory with the semi-final first. For me, as I say, one of the best young batsmen in the world. It's going to be so exciting to see him at Old Trafford next year. And then you've obviously got, you know, the likes of Delroy Rawlins as well, who, again, for me, Delroy Rawlins, one of the best young players in the country at T20 cricket. I think he's so underrated. His batting is brilliant, and his bowling is so, we're not talking about his bowling, but his bowling is so underappreciated, in my opinion, by a lot of people. I'm sure Sussex fans appreciate it, though. But his batting and bowling is just explosive, and I take your point. But I genuinely do feel like that top order will fire. And as I say, I feel like Luke Wright always gets 30, but I genuinely do think that they will fire. And as you say, if you have to identify an Achilles heel, that would be it. But for me, I genuinely think the Sussex side is too strong, especially with Phil Salt in there. I think he's too good.
Some absolutely shameless Lancashire bias there on display. Yeah, exactly. I think it's safe to say, Joe, that you're happy with the signing of Phil Salt. But in terms of the overall conversation about Sussex, Joe, I think we've both alluded to it, haven't we? It is this generation of Sussex cricketers. This is their last chance, isn't it? Okay, we've seen them lose finals day in 2018 to Worcestershire. We've seen them have some near misses in 2019 and 2020. And 2021, they've won their quarterfinal quite convincingly. They're heading to Edgbaston yet again. And this is the last season for Chris Jordan, who's been a fantastic servant to the club, and Phil Salt as well. For me, I'd love to see Sussex go through. I really would. And of course, Tamar Mills as well, with his death bowling. We've barely even mentioned him, but what an asset he's going to be for the Sharks on finals day with those absolutely killer Yorkers. So for me, maybe it's just my heart talking. Maybe it's not the head as much. And Kent are the stronger team. And in terms of who the favourites are, I still maintain it's Kent. But for me personally, there's just something inside which wants to see Sussex in the final. I don't know if that's just me, Joe. I'm not sure if you're feeling the same. But with the likes of Luke Wright, for example, with the likes of Phil Salt, with the likes of Jordan, Mills, for example, Garton as well. Like, they've just got so, so many talented cricketers.
As I say, I think for me their bowling attack, especially their fast bowling attack. I mean, two of their three main seamers are in England's World T20 squad. And Jofra would be if he was fit and available. Mm-hmm. So let's, I know he's not playing, but let's include Jofra in that kind of quartet of fast bowlers as well. You know, you've got three out of the four are capped by England, and obviously Garton is on England's books, should have played in the ODI series this season as well. But I genuinely think Sussex is, I'm starting to sound like a bit of a Sussex fan here, but I do have a bit of a soft spot for Sussex, and I do think that they are a really, really good side. I Jordan and Salt are leaving. This feels like their best opportunity for a while. They will obviously be a lot less. They will have a lot less firepower, you know, next year and the year after. Of course, if you take these players out, regardless of who you recruit, if you take Salt and Jordan out, two of the best players around. If you take those two out, your team is of course going to be worse, regardless of who you replace them with. You know, from wherever. So I do think that this is their best shot, and I do think they will win it. Obviously, they got close in 2018. Was the last time they got so close. Lanks knocked them out last year, but I thought that they were going to be there or thereabouts. So for me, I think this is Sussex's best chance, and I do hope that they win. I'd say after Lanks, Sussex were kind of the team I really wanted to win it, looking at the quarters. So yeah, I don't know about you, but that was for me.
They're definitely one of them. They are one of them. But with that being said, to be honest, I like all of the teams in this year's finals day. I really do. I like the look of them. They're all incredibly strong. And again, for different reasons, you could argue for and against why or why not they'll reach the final. But in terms of our predictions then, Joe, for semi-final two, I think it's pretty obvious who we've gone for. We've gone for Sussex. I still think Kent are favourites. And I think that on paper, at least, you could say we're going to be proven wrong. But we're going to go with the Sussex Sharks. So
we didn't really make that very clear, though, did we?
No, we didn't. I don't think we made it clear enough at all, Joe. But in terms of the final aspect of today's preview show then, Joe, we do, of course, have the big question. And in terms of our two predictions with our semi-finalist winners, we do have a final in your case of Hampshire versus Sussex, an El Clasico, which would be absolutely fantastic, a South Coast derby in the final of the T20 Blast. And in my case, you've got Somerset versus Sussex. So, Joe, I'll start with you. Who do you think will be the winner of the 2021 T20 Blast?
In case I don't really waste time, I'm going to go for Sussex. Because, as I say, I think they're too good. Although I do think, should I say my final? I think I've already said my final anyway. I do think it'll be a Hampshire-Sussex final. So, an El Clasico's final. And, personally for me, I'll be rooting for Sussex, but if Hampshire win it, I think, or whoever wins it, I think they'll definitely be deserved, because you're clearly good enough to get this far.
Exactly, Joe. I think that's a nice way of putting it, to be honest. And with my one again, I'm going to say Sussex. I genuinely hope we haven't just put the TCCP curse on them, but I'd love to see the Sharks lift it. I'd love to see Phil Salt and Chris Jordan bow out of Sussex colours with a T20 Blast trophy, and see Luke Wright lift one as well. I'd absolutely love to see that. So I will go with Sussex as the eventual winners. But as you've rightfully said, Joe, isn't it fantastic to see four such strong teams with fantastic players going at it on finals day in front of full crowds at Edgbaston? It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be electric. It's going to be sensational entertainment. Tune in, or of course, for those lucky enough to go, just enjoy yourselves, because it's going to be an absolutely fantastic way to wrap up this year's T20 Blast. So, Joe, I think we've pretty much covered everything in terms of finals day. We've mentioned our predictions, we've done our strengths, our weaknesses, our analysis of each of the teams, Joe. So just before we end today's show, do you just have anything to kind of just wrap up on, or do you think we've covered everything in its entirety?
No, I think we've covered everything. Just hoping for a good day. And as I say, although for me personally, I kind of want Sussex to win, especially I'm a complete neutral. So I just hope it's a good day. And I know I said before, but that I think it could be a low-scoring game, but I do hope every game has 200 runs. That's incredibly unrealistic. Regardless, it would still make it for a very good, very good day. We'll see what happens, and without doubt, I'm sure it'll be a good day. And I do actually wish they did this. They don't do this, but I just had this thought. I don't know why they don't do a player of the day. I've always wondered that. That would be such a good award to give out, a player of the day.
Yeah, and so, have the fans vote for it.
Yeah, something like that, and maybe we can do a player of the day.
Yeah, we can. In the review show. Yeah.
So hopefully Phil Salt wins that. So yeah.
There we go. That's why he wanted to introduce the award at the end of the show. So I think that is a fantastic place to wrap up, Joe, to be honest. And as I said, listeners, just for all of you out there, please do tune in. And of course, to everyone going, just enjoy yourselves. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic occasion for everyone involved. And I know it's a cliche, and I know it's a very, very cliche way to end today's podcast, but may the best team win, because we are neutral here at the County Cricket Podcast for 2021 Finals Day. We just want to see some good cricket, and may the best team win. So that is it from us two here at the County Cricket Podcast for today's 2021 T20 Blast Finals Day preview show. To all of you wonderful listeners, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.